we read this chapter, chapter 41, and I hope you'll take time to read the entire chapter before you teach this week. But when you read this chapter, you understand that when Joseph comes up out of prison, it's very obvious that he's been walking with God. It's not as if his faith has failed, and it's not as if his faith has waned in those times. Although he was in prison, although he was seemingly forgotten by every man, by every human being, his faith in God remained true because he comes out of prison trusting God to give the interpretation of the dream, speaking of God again and again and again, having a testimony that God's presence is on his life. I mean, it's obvious that while Joseph was in prison, that God was working in his heart still. In those dark times in our lives, we certainly come to the Lord and say, Lord, work in my heart. Lord, help me to get closer to you. But what we want to emphasize this week is not only was God working in Joseph's heart, but God is so wonderful, God is so great that he's also able to work on the other end. You see, Pharaoh had a dream. I wonder who gave him that dream. I think we know the answer to that. I wonder who caused that dream. I wonder who caused the butler to happen to remember something from 2 years prior. You see, God is not only able to work in our lives in times of disappointment, but God's able to work in the lives of others, and we can trust him to do that. I want to emphasize these things this week. First of all, I want you to look at this story and understand this truth. That is that our God deserves to be honored. Our God deserves to be honored. We find Joseph again and again in his life just choosing to do what's right, choosing to honor the Lord God. He honored him in the last lesson as we saw him being tempted, and the Lord was with him in the hour of temptation. And even though no man was in the house, and though no one was around, and no one seemingly would have known, he said, I cannot do this great wickedness and sin against God. He just had chosen to honor God. And God's not only worthy to be honored in our private life, but most importantly, God is to be honored in our private secret life. When no one else sees and when no one else knows. And we find Joseph there in the prison for 2 full years. And it's obvious when he comes forth that he had chosen to be true to God, to keep his faith in God, to honor God even during that dark time. I want you to look at a key passage in the Scripture. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. And I hope you'll not forget this particular phrase in the Bible. It's so true and it'll help us. 1 Samuel chapter 2, we find that God is speaking here to Eli. And the man of God is speaking the word of the Lord to Eli. And the Bible says in verse 30, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me. For them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And I want you to mark in your Bible that great truth. Them that honor me I will honor. When we think of God and all that he is almighty and he's omnipresent, he's omniscient, he knows all things, he's everywhere. When we think of our great God, we certainly must understand that he deserves to be honored. But God's given us this promise. If we'll understand that he's worthy of giving him honor, then he's promised, them that honor me, I will honor. So then we find Joseph, look back in our story in Genesis 41. Then we find Joseph standing up. Can you imagine this Hebrew standing, as far as we know, for the first time in the presence of Pharaoh? He worked for the captain of the guard before, that was Potiphar. He's been in prison for a number of years. He shaves, the Hebrews grew beards, but the Egyptians were clean-shaven people, so he shaved before entering the presence of these Egyptians and cleans himself up, comes out of that dungeon. For the first time, perhaps he's seeing the marble floors or however ornately decorated that Pharaoh's court was, and he's walking up to the king of the land, Pharaoh himself, who's actually esteemed as a god in the land of Egypt. And he walks up to him, and as he speaks, he says in verse 16, And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh begins to give the dream. The seven cows coming up, they were fat and well-favored, and then they were eaten up by the seven cows that were thin and lean-fleshed. And he dreamed again the seven full ears of corn, then the seven blasted ears of corn eating up those. And Pharaoh rehearses it all before Joseph. And Joseph again and again says, look at verse 25, The dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. You see, Joseph has a confidence in God. And I want you to know, Joseph's confidence is not in his own ability. It's not his ability to interpret dreams. Why does Joseph speak with such confidence? God is showing you. God is going to do this. This is what God has planned. God is going to give 7 years of plenty. Then God is going to give 7 years of famine. How can Joseph speak that way? Well, here's how. Because he had confidence, not in himself, but in the quiet, secret place of his life. He knew in the secret place of life he had honored God. And them that honor me, I will honor. That's the promise of the Lord. And we need to say, Lord, help me in the quiet, secret place of my life, just before you, to know, to be able to serve you and stand for you and speak of you, because I know with confidence that I've been honoring you in my quiet, secret life. God deserves to be honored. I want you to know, secondly in the story, that God speaks to men. God speaks to men. Joseph is standing in the midst of a heathen land. The Egyptians have many gods. The river was a god, and the sun was a god. Pharaoh was a god. Many different animals and plants and things like that were gods. They had all these gods, gods of wood and gods of stone, all these other false gods. But what we understand about Joseph's God, the true and living God, is he's a God who actually can speak to people. You see, he's able to work on the other end. He's able to work on the other end. I want you to notice in Isaiah chapter 45 what the Word of God says about the Lord. Isaiah chapter 45, and begin reading in verse 18. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He hath created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. And then in verse 19 he says, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. I want you to know something. We serve a God. We have a true and living God. He's not a God of wood or stone or clay who doesn't speak to people. We have a true and living God. He's literally a person, a personality. And he's able to speak to other people. And we come to our God, we understand something about him. If we honor him, he's going to honor us. He's going to work on the other end, and he can work on the other end on our behalf in his timing. And we understand that when we come to our God and we speak to him, that he's able, because he can work on the other end, he's able to speak to people. He's not just some force. He's not just something. He's not just a name on a page. He's a little personality who can speak to another person. We know that God speaks to us through his word. And isn't it great when God gets a hold of somebody's heart from the word of God? God speaks to us, those of us who know him as Savior, he speaks to us through his spirit. The Bible says, he says, this is the way, now walk ye in it. Have you ever felt the spirit of God telling you that? Just put one foot in front of the other. This is the right way. The Bible teaches that God can speak to us through other Christians. In fact, it says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 25, that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And somebody else can come along our path, and God can use them to speak a word, just a word fitly spoken, and God can speak to us through that Christian. And God can use certainly circumstances to speak to us. And that's what he did in Pharaoh's life. He caused a dream. He caused two dreams, and literally they were one together, as Joseph interpreted it. He calls the butler to remember, as Pharaoh was disturbed about the dream, he calls the butler to remember, hey, there's a Hebrew down there, and I think he can interpret dreams. He interpreted mine and the baker's correctly. God is working on the other end, and what we can have confidence in is this. When we come to God and we ask him to work on the other end, we say, Lord, there's someone that I'm burdened for. Lord, there's someone that has a need, and I know about that need, and I want you to meet that need. Lord, there's someone whose heart you need to touch. We can speak to God here, and he's a real, true, living God who can actually speak to someone else on the other end. While we're speaking to him, he's speaking to them. While we're speaking to him, he's speaking to them. Now listen, I believe our God can do that, don't you? He did it in the life of Joseph. He began working on the other end in Joseph's behalf. Now I want you to notice the last thing in this story. We understand that God does what is right at the right time. Now, it had been 2 years, and I would imagine that the first day after the butler was gone, Joseph listened for any clanging of keys in the cell of that jail, wouldn't you? The butler said he would remember him. I would imagine that the second day, Joseph was anxiously awaiting. Well, perhaps, you know, first day on the job, you're not going to mention something big to the Pharaoh. Maybe the second day he will. First week, I'm sure he still had a lot of hope. First couple weeks, maybe, he thought, it's just transition time. But can you imagine after a month went by and 2 months went by and finally a year went by? Finally 2 years, that's about 730 days, right? 730. I'd say Joseph had just given up on the butler by then, but he hadn't given up on God. I would imagine that we would not know, but if the butler had mentioned something the first day, I don't know that Joseph would have ever been esteemed to this position that God brought him to. I don't know that Joseph would ever been used of God like this if he had mentioned it the first day. But we understand this, that God does what is right, and he does it at the right time. Look at verse 38 as we conclude, Genesis 41:38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, and there's none so discreet and wise as thou art, thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. You see, God does what is right in the right time. The Bible says in Isaiah 30:18, and the Lord will wait that he might be gracious unto you. And I think God is just waiting for the right timing in our lives to give us what he wants us to have. Seems like so often we're just trying to get God to give us what we're not even ready to receive. Or maybe we're trying to get God to give us every day what he's not really ready to give to us. Just trust God. Joseph learned to rest in God. He learned to keep his faith in him, even in the prison. And he understood God will do what is right at the right time. And think of how quickly God changed everything just in one chapter, just in one day, just in a few minutes' time. Just to think of how quickly God changed everything in the life of Joseph. Don't you think we can trust him to do what's right in the right time in our lives? I think we can. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the testimony of Scripture that